Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Welcome you to yet another episode of Black Power Radio. And I just want to welcome you and all your crew up in here tonight at Black Power Radio. This is Sheikh Ali Mam Akbar, and we're live in Washington, D.C., and we hope you're in your favorite spot or your favorite geographical location. It could be in a hut. It could be a loon and a goon beneath the blue lagoon. But you soon, because you came up here in Black Power Radio, you could have very well went to the golf tournament tonight. Oh, you could have went to the tennis tournament. But you came on in here tonight to Black Power Radio. You skipped your nephew's bar mitzvah and showed up at Black Power Radio anyhow. And we're damn good and proud of you and happy you showed up. But we have a pertinent cross-examination question tonight. As we come in the name of the Almighty God who originated the heavens and the earth and all that exists in between them, There lies the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High God. We hope that you will grow to a universal concept and help me ask the pertinent cross-examination question. Should we, the people, declare war, war on ignorance, war on police brutality, war on all forms of enslavement, and war against the opposition? We are here tonight on the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We hope that you are here in the same spirit, and you might want to ask the same pertinent cross-examination questions. Regardless of who you are and where you came from, you're right here on Black Power Radio. And I say, you are live on Black Power Radio. As you say, Khalid Mam Akbar in the beautiful city and the potentially fair city of Washington, D.C., of all places. As we look across the nation far deep and wide, we cannot overlook, we cannot do a drive-by on the city of Memphis, Tennessee. And now they have a black police chief woman and say, these are my personal servants. This is my crew that mowed down and beat to death Tyre Nichols. How could they do it? How could you do that to a mangy dog or some other wild animal from the wilderness? But you would mow your brother down to nothing. Over nothing. Now we can see now there's some salt and pepper effects in the mix of George Floyd, and there goes the salt and pepper with Tyre Nichols. Is there anything interrelated in some of these beatings, killings, and police homicide? Is there a connection between police homicide and the salt and pepper crew? We saw a man hanging in North Carolina, and it was all about the salt and pepper thing. Caused them to go out and hang our brother right at their headquarters, right in the field of the headquarters of the Ku Klux Klan. Oh, there's so much that has been done to us. We hope there's some form of wake-up juice here tonight for not only you, but for your whole crew. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High God, will send his blessing to you and to your family, because we're in need of a blessing. We're in need of a healing. The city council members all choked up and could barely speak. He was in sheer disbelief that they had done this to our brother. And Cain rose up in jealousy of his brother. And he slain. He said, Cain, you have killed Abel. Abel, who is Abel? You understand? He said, where is your brother Abel? He said, I do not know. Now, he's been reduced to about nothing times nothing equal a liar and a murderer. Is a good for nothing. I won't call no MF and air on the air, so I won't. But right now, we're just going to tip it off and toss up to our brother out in South Carolina. We've got our chairman Ties over there, and he's here, there, and damn near everywhere. But I'm wondering, after all the shit that we've been through, right, and all the shit that's going on with us, do expect us to call Gus so he can cuss for the rest of us and cuss and fuss for us, or do we declare war? I ask you, Brother Ty, what's up in South Carolina? And do we the people declare war?
How y'all out there doing? How y'all doing? It's time to most definitely declare war on that right there, man. I mean, we've seen what happened, and it's happening again and again and again. It's a repetitive thing, so most definitely something has to be done about that right now. I mean, what are we going to do, just stand around with our hands down and just let it continue to happen?
The tactics
that we used to go about doing it, though, I don't know exactly
how
we're going to take care of that.
Hell to the nah. To the nah, to the nah, nah, nah. We are compelled, brothers and sisters, by our social political circumstance to do something about this. Mama.
I don't know what tactics we need to use, but something has to be done. I was going to ask you, what do you think we need to do to go about taking care of this?
I declare war on my vicious enemies and go to work on them. No good time. That's what I.
What is war? Is it mental? Is it physical? Is it political? Is it how do you go about doing it?
Take everything you have against the opposition. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the island that I serve, the God of the heavens and the earth, you're getting a little sad. You sound like you may have some matrix effect in your mic. See if you can clear your mic up, and I'll tell you like I'll tell everybody else. The Almighty God said you use everything with your utmost strenuousness, meaning with everything that you have, with your goods and your persons, and you go against the vicious enemy for doing a dirty, dastardly deed, such as murder my brother. I will not let, if a vicious enemy murdered your biological physical blood brother, that's how you got to treat. And that's how I'm treating it at this hour, for black power and for a strong black military. Yes, sir. Can you get your mic clear? Okay.
Yeah,
let me hear. Oh, a little better.
Yeah, boss. Shit, somebody killed my physical brother, man. My brother that came from my mother, man. That's a whole nother ball game. But I mean, I don't want to downplay it because it wasn't one of my brothers from my mother, you know. But I put it like this right here, and I think about this all the time. If one of them take me, man, I feel like we need to take some of them. We need to find out, and not just targeting anybody, but I'm talking about whoever did it. Their family need to be in jeopardy as well. Whether it's their parents, their kids, their brothers, sisters, wife, you know what I mean? Because guess what? At the end of the day, man, a lot of them, they get to walk free. A lot of them, they walk away and they walk free. But they're human beings just like me and you. They got to go to their mailbox. They got to go to the grocery store. They got to go to work. They got to take their kids to school. They got to breathe fresh air, go to the doctor. They go out to eat and got a waitress. So they're just like us. They can't look at themselves like they can't be touched. They can be touched too. Anybody can be touched, no matter what color you is, what you think you know, who you're friends with, how much money you got, you can always be touched. Remember that.
Absolutely. But remember one other thing, that we must, again, act on behalf of our brother and not in the spirit of emotion, but in the spirit of, if you want to say it's revenge, if you want to say it's get back, but we must have some comeback. And if it's a setback, then it's a setup for even a stronger comeback for the no good vicious mindset that we have to be ready to attack mentally, spiritually, physically, and in every manner on this mentality. We must crush this mentality in America. We must crush the physical thing that produces it, for it is the opposition that trains them. And the black woman police chief say, this is my army. This is my squad. This is my scorpions down on the black community. And they're willing to lame, mutilate to disfigure and disarm and even kill the innocent person for being a standby in a vicious police drive-by. It is a police homicide, and it should be treated as such. They should be taking all those pensions of everybody close connected to that. They got anything to do with that squad. They should dismantle, clean house. That's one big thing. And we must see to it that they clean house, my mind, in our list of demands. As I go to 301, they're out there with you at 301.
I got something to say before we go on to the next person. Drop it like a tie. I feel like this right here. We might have to train up a couple of our black people to take one for the team, so to speak. We have to train up a couple black guys to become officers, and what they're going to have to do, they're going to have to beat up some white guys. And once they beat them white guys up and people start to see that on TV, and their parents and their mama start to cry, and they kids start to say, why my daddy? And they start to say, why my brother? Why my son? Then I think people will look at this in more of a serious light. But until it starts to happen to white folks, then I don't think that really people are going to take this whole thing serious, because a lot of people ain't got to worry about the shit happening to them. See what I'm saying?
Yes, because you know what? I don't think that they're serious yet. I really don't, and I don't believe that anyone is taking it seriously on the side of the opposition. I don't see not one person from the opposition have any sensitivity whatsoever. I have not yet met a corrections officer, a police officer, or anyone on the National Guard, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, to have even the least bit of sensitivity towards us, even in the very least little bit. That's just been my experience. Your experience may be quite different. And I'll go out and reach out to our Minister Justice. She know a lot about this. She can tell you all about these things. Should we, the people, declare war, and we ask our doctrine and Minister of Justice, power to we the people. Should we declare war against the opposition? We the people, Dr. Critical Truth Fee, say, welcome to Black Power Radio and power to we the people.
Power to the people.
Power.
Greetings, Black family.
What up, cuz? Greetings. What's up?
Hey, Doc, how you doing?
All right. What's happening there? National.
Hey, just hanging in there.
That's right. So what we have been through with these race soldiers has been since 1850 when they morphed into the police force. We must never forget the origins of law enforcement, which are slave catchers. So whether they are black or white, we have noticed the Tyre Nichols case is very, very eye-opening as far as how they operate when it comes to getting answers to the public. And so we see that there's a stark difference when the race soldiers look like one of us and how they're easily able to put out their names. And not only that, just recently, two of the five murderers were actually part of a past fraternity as well. And so it's very telling on the background that many of these officers come from. And so that's why we have to really focus on learning how to create legislation to protect us as persons. And that's what we don't have right now. That's exactly why this governance, this oppressive governance, is able to minister their so-called brutality upon us and have and face no consequences. So this is where the root cause problem begins. So these five officers, you have Tadrius Bean, Demetrius Haley, Emmett Martin III, Desmond Mills Jr., and Justin Smith. So Demetrius Haley and Tadrius Bean have been the two out of the five that have been highlighted concerning their background. And if you haven't heard the background of Tadrius Bean, who actually was part of a Omega Psi Phi fraternity that originated at Howard University, yeah, which is one of the most, the original HBCUs, and how they had to go through hazing and abuse, even pouring hot sauce down the so-called candidates' pants to simulate sexual disease, which I never even heard of that until these reports came out. So a lot of demeaning and abusive initiations that these officers, before they even became officers, had to go through. And not to mention their age, a lot of them are still young, 25 years old. So some of them are fresh on the force with this type of mentality. And so because it's been unchecked, because they have passed the law enforcement training and they fit right for a system that apparently has been using these tactics since the beginning of time. And so this is clear telling that, yeah, we don't have any protections at all when it comes to these race soldiers. So how do we combat that? We have to combat that, as I said before.
You're saying
not
that
just
there
good.
Are two Omegas? Are you saying there are two Omegas, Omega Psi Phi's out on the force in Tennessee on the Scorpion?
No, we're talking about the officers that were involved in Tyree Nichols' murder in Memphis, Tennessee.
And two
January 7th.
Omega?
So the fraternities that they were
do
part
you realize
of.
Now, in this town, they are probably, along with the Phi Beta Sigma now, launched the Million Man March from their headquarters here in Washington, right? And the Omegas were in the midst of these things. The Omegas are the Bougie Brothers. These are the looked up to fraternity, the one most likely to get the Ferrari first, most likely to succeed in getting the house inside the gated community first, most likely to hire on a Westinghouse or General Electric or a big corporation first. They're the first to be first in first. NBC, first thing about the Black Panther, when we trying to do something out here sometime. And you're saying that the guys that have pledged a black fraternity that are involved in this type of horseplay and just torturing a young black, a man likely younger than them, torture this man to death, but is it over the salt and pepper syndrome that some talking? That kind of talk, the salt and pepper syndrome that George Floyd and Tyree, there are probably some more. I was trying to think there's another one, a big one out there, some beating or slaying. And LaVell Lane, was he a salt and pepper man? Okay.
What is a salt and pepper man? What does that mean?
He got a black and white house, I mean, black man. With a white woman, a black sister with a white man, and we call them salt and pepper things to not just call them mutts and stuff. We just call them, you say salt and pepper. So is there a pulse to Dr. Truth Bay and Brother Ty? Do you all see anything interrelated, such as a salt and pepper syndrome in any of these killings? All the same thing to me.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. As they dig into the backgrounds of these five specific officers, it would be interesting to know if any of them did marry outside of their race, because then that would solidify the treatment or how they viewed Tyree that night on January 17th. So that information has
even
not
deeper,
been
even deeper, Dr. Bay. The are they set up? Did someone say when you see that license plate go across, pull them over and shake them up for a little something, something? The people that there's a guy on the force is rumored right now. That was after the same white gal that he was courting and having babies with. Was the envy of one of the officers. Somebody has dropped that out there. Now, we don't know anything on hearsay, but we're looking to see how do any of these pieces fit into this extremely complicated puzzle, my mind.
Yeah, so we can definitely wait and see what the reports will be concerning their backgrounds. But it is telling, I can say here, in California, a lot of the sheriffs that I know are, black sheriffs specifically, are married to non-blacks. That is a common case here when it comes to them patrolling. So they definitely have the mentality of the oppressor, and that happens quite often. So with that being said, you also have many white officers. For some reason, they feel that they either married a black woman and that they are understanding of the black plight just by marrying a black woman, when 9 times out of 10, that's completely the opposite. So overall, who you marry is telling on how you live your life. And so many of the black entrepreneurs, let's take, for example, Byron Allen. Byron Allen, who is, you know, supposed to be one of the top paying producers here in Los Angeles. You know, he married, let's see what his wife's name, but he married blonde hair, blue eyed Jewish lady. And of course, they're mixed kids as well. And so overall, when it comes to giving back to the Black community or supporting the Black community, Byron Allen and many of counterparts such as he has no relation or understanding of them keeping or knowing who they are. So another example is our current mayor, Karen Bass. Just because she's the first Black woman mayor, her husband and her children are Mexican. So her firstborn doesn't even look half Black, like literally looks Mexican. And so her grandchildren, because her daughter married another Mexican person, the children look straight up Latino. So you would never, ever relate to these, to Karen Bass's children and her family as Black. So it's very understandable as to why she doesn't really focus on the Black community, that she wants to be all-inclusive, especially when her daughters are in, she's training her daughters to be in the political realm as well. And of course, a lot of the agenda items and support that LA City has will go primarily to the Latino population. And so that exasperates the situation. So when you do have a family, Black father and mother and children, it's more relatable as to what the needs of their community are, for especially when Blacks are involved. But when you're part of a system, a bigger system, many times, even if you are all conscious and your spouse is Black and your children are Black, there are certain things that you're limited to do. So it is a, it goes back to the history of what this country has built. Color lines, race wars. This is the only country on planet Earth that actually uses that type of system to regulate lifestyles. And I don't think we can ever leave or disassociate ourselves with that, as we see everywhere we go. The Black man and the Black woman has always been the bottom barrel money makers for every other race or nationality. So I don't think there's anything that we can say or do to change that system. The only thing we can do is self-determine ourselves, self-govern ourselves. And that's why I always push towards learning policy and legislation, how things are being ran, so we can actually emulate that. And that's the most important reason why we do need to create or reestablish the Freedmen's Bureau, the Freedmen's Agency. This was the only portion of governance that catered to and was created to cater to the needs of the freed slaves. But we all know within those 7 years that it existed that it couldn't have done so, that it has never done so. So what do? Do we just continue to allow the system to rule us, or do we find a way to create a separate system? And if we can do that, most of our issues will not be an issue. Routine traffic stops don't have to end up in deadly force if we have our own Black type of law enforcement. And that includes retired military persons that we can vouch in our own neighborhood. It really starts with your local block, gathering together who's in your area to create a neighborhood watch. That's really the lowest form of patrol or law enforcement, unofficial, but it can be made official if we determine that this is how we need to govern ourselves. And that really is the only answer as to how we have them not utilize their own rules, laws, state codes to continually, what's that word I'm looking for? Yeah, to continually to harass and confiscate our bodies and violate our rights. These are the only ways that we can combat that is creating our own. So are we able to do that, Black family? That's yet to be seen. So that's the answers that I'm looking to find to see great leaders, Black leaders, conscious leaders that are really for Black empowerment stepping up to the plate and creating these agencies. Until that happens, we'll always be subjugated to this Roman government. And that's not where we want to be, especially for our children's sake. And we have to take responsibility on what we teach our kids. And Tyree, you know, he 3 doors down from his mama's house. So it was too late for him to really get any type of help when they're in the hands of these race soldiers. But when it's our own doing that looks like us that's doing that hits home in a different way. And that's really as egregious as it can get.
Dr. Truth Bay, from my research only at this point, are we willing to walk away or abandon Greek and Roman mythology or walk away from the ways and habitations of the Greeks and the Romans, or what I call in general walking away from Mediterranean idealism and Mediterranean lifestyle, a Mediterranean family value system, the Mediterranean spiritualism, the Mediterranean sexuality, and the Mediterranean diet? Are we willing to leave those things alone if we had the option to have Black power? Are we willing to leave or abandon Mediterraneanism to get Black power?
Yeah, well, more adoptive is the European ways of life and culture. That's what America is founded on. It's based on the British royal crown. So we're not too far disconnected of how this country started to begin with. And Harriet Tubman said it best, that there were a lot more slaves that she could have freed if they only knew that they were slaves. And because we were born under a regime that this is all we know from generation to generation, we feel that this is it. We have never been taught how to be self-determined. So the very few of us that are facing pushback from the majority of us that just want to keep it, you know, not cause a stir or try to live as quietly as possible without any trouble. And they know that never works, because once you're a Black person, whether you are a millionaire or homeless or poverty stricken, you are still considered a race of people that are money makers, that are job seekers, not entrepreneurs. We seem to fall for the okey-doke majority of the time. Perfect example, we do have some people that called in on Power Radio, I believe, last week that are perfect examples of why we can't get ahead. So when we are in a circle or in a positive environment creating plans of freedom, you'll have one or two that will chime in just to cause a stir and disagree just to disagree. Those are our worst enemies, because the progression doesn't lie within the opposition. Our success does not lie in how the opposition treats us. Our success lies within us. And those of us who know better, who know that we need to be self-determined, rather not encourage their own brother and sister to do so, but tear them down just because. And for those that I say, that is who I have the most smoke for. See, the opposition, we already know what he's about. we already know that he can't stand us. But when we have our own brothers and sisters that are not addressing or being on code and disrupting the progress of what the few freedom fighters that we have left are trying to accomplish, those are the ones that I'd like to put in the street first and just beat the hell out of them. That's how I feel. Beat the hell out of them as they beat Tyrese Nichols. Just breakdance on them and leave them out in the street as an example that if you want to stop progression, that this is the consequence. That's the only smoke that I have, primarily. And so moving forward, we need to continue to be like-minded and work together with those who have an ear to hear and those who are not progressing or, you know, seem to put a stop on what we want to do, need to be the first ones to be held as an example. And that's how I feel in totality what of how a progression can be. Being spiritually grounded is first and foremost, because one of the things that this war requires you is not about flesh and blood. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting spiritual principalities. We're fighting evil spirits. So it's not the person that you have a problem with. It's the spirit that they carry. So what we have to do is address the spirit with the spirit. And when that doesn't work, that's when we, some have to throw some hands every now and again. But there are times that you just got to stand your ground by any means necessary, whether it's our own people. When I say our own people, not mentality-wise, but, you know, all skin folk is not kinfolk, as we know, that we got to address the opposition however it comes. And more so than ever, sometimes they look, the opposition more so looks just like us. And so how do we address that? You know, it's the same way that we were addressed the oppressor. It's through organizing, meeting, writing ideas, coming together, and putting together a bill, a law, that we tell this Roman government that needs to be applied. All they have to do is respect it. If they don't, then there are consequences to face on that. But we first have to take that step. And that idea of individualism, you have so many great groups out here. You have so many empowering men and women, great leaders, great orators, great organizers. But again, everyone is in their own lane. We're not seeing all that come together as one body. You have East Coast different than the West Coast, you have the South different than the North. But once we have an idea of self-determination and what really works, it is our duty, it is our responsibility as freedom fighters, as revolutionaries, to execute that which will work. But if we haven't started it yet, then we cannot be hypocritical about this revolution. They know that we are defeated, divided. So why do we continue to be divided? Why aren't we trying to put the walls down, put our egos down, put our ideologies down for a second for a unison, a collective idea to make things work? We owe it to our children and our children's children for them to see that type of progress. And that's where we have to be, Black family. No matter how great we may be in the past, right now we have to focus on 20 and 23 and beyond. What is this mentality? What is our youth? Where is their mindset? Everything is fast. Everything is rapid pace. And if we're not able to catch up with changing the mind of our youth, having locations where they can be relative and understand and discuss and critical think and disseminate ideas, then we're causing a great disservice by arguing amongst each other of ideas that's not even relevant to 2023. For example, we got Rob DeSantis. We call him DeSantis, but he's really DeSatan. As we know, Florida, the audacity, and we call the caucasity of this man to actually ban AP African American history. What audacity do you think for someone to even go that route? But DeSantis felt comfortable enough to say, yeah, we want to edit and abolish African-American history. He would have never done that had we had something in place. Is our own path that we arrive in numbers at the parent-teacher conferences or the school board hearings, that we show up and show out. We're absent from these spaces, Black family. We are absent from these spaces. And when we don't show up to these meetings that are taking place in our communities, the Latino community, they show up in droves. The white community, or pink people, as Queen Mother would say, would show up in droves on agendas and ideas that mean nothing. But because they show up and they let their voices be heard in person on a regular basis, more of the policies gear towards what they want and not what we want. So if we can change that perspective on how we even apply civic and ethics to our everyday life, to practice or listen or train ourselves to listen into council hearings. And I tell you, it's boring most of the time, but as you get used to it, you're listening to certain language that is familiar to governing. And that's really the ultimate step, is governance that creates ghettos, that creates hoods, that creates a volatile environment for Black people, push us out and tell us, you live here, you can't buy a house next to us. Absolutely not. That would happen if we stood the ground that Martin Luther King was trying to tell us when he said, I've been to the mountaintop, the day before he was murdered. That speech tells us everything we need to do, gave us instructions on how to name the names of the oppressor. Many a times we complain and say, they are oppressing us. When you ask, who are they? Be specific. We can't give up a name. That's not how we fight a revolution, Black family. You got to study and show yourselves approved. And so as we move forward, I would like to see us more involved in our local politics, city councils, and that dialogue will not change, absolutely will not change. And unless you have done so on a regular basis, not in 1972 with five people, okay, we're talking about on a regular basis, relevant agenda items affecting your community, have representatives there if you're not able to be there. If not, look at the video or the website or the YouTube channel that the city council has. And many of them, 99% of city councils, they have online videos to follow. That's how we need to move. And then once we grasp how the opposition thinks, how they rule, how they speak, the language that they use, we take it and make it our own, since we created everything to begin with. This language, this council, starts in Egypt. The Egyptians were the first ones to really have an official government structure. But just like everything else in history, they want to whitewash it. They want to say, you know, we didn't create math, or we didn't create the language. Strip everything from us, take possession of it, and say, yeah, you guys are going to disappear. But we're too strong for that. We're too mindful for that. We are too rigorous for that. And we must remember who we are as the original man and get back to the place of the throne that God originally gave us. And that is what I believe I will see, that we will see this year, as we see a shift in many of the governance that's happening as we speak. That's my take on it, Black family. I'd love to hear any comments or assertion concerning these comments. Power to the people.
power to the people. That's a wonderful take, a great observance, and we appreciate it so much here at Black Power Radio to have one that's intellectually sound, that loves to do the research, and then you have a profound position on these issues. And Black Power Radio is an institution built on those that have independent black thinking away from the, I guess, I'm not even going to say the norm, but away from the typical mindset. We have to think outside of the mindset. Never think outside of the box, because you have committed yourself. Once you say you're thinking outside of the box, you have committed yourself to be in a box, and they want to box you in and surround you with their thinking and their mentality, and therefore they will cause you to change your thinking to be in line with their thinking. But if you're already thinking, you don't have to worry about whether they got a box or not. If you have your own thoughts and idealism on a subject, an issue, or on we the people, then you're in a better shape coming with your own mindset. Like I said, your own cottage in the field. I think his brother Todd is still there. And your own, if you go in South Carolina and see you some cotton or some greens or beans or some oranges, they got that too in South Carolina, then whatever you pick up on and whatever you decide to do, then you have your own. You're more dignified picking your own cotton from your own plant and just sewing the cotton balls together than showing up in a Ralph Lauren or a P. Diddy suit, what they call Sean John, or any of the latest styles, fashions, or just wearing a label, a tag, or just wearing a designer fashion. You'd be more hip with your own cotton. He said, but that guy's suit didn't look black too much. But he sold that himself, and he got it from his own cotton, from his own field. And they'll have to do a double thing. He did? And next year you come back, you got a fashion designer, and your suit looking better than Steve Harvey, Sean John, and Ralph Lauren, and Hilfiger, and all of them put together. You got your own style of fashion. You just have to take what you have, beloved, and refine it, and take your best and make it better. Is that right, Brother Chairman Ties in South Carolina? Right there.
Most definitely take advantage of your atmosphere and your environment, and multiply and capitalize on everything you can. If not, they're going to make you think that it's a whole nother way than what it really is. They're going to make you think it's this way and that way. They're going to make you think the biggest piece of land you can have is a quarter acre, and that's 300,000. That's what they're going to make you think, when in reality you can have your whole backyard for a garden. And you can build your house all the way down there. And you can put you a pond in your yard if that's what you want to do. It depends on how big you think. It depends on how big your dream is and what all you want to achieve and accomplish. Never stop dreaming is what I say. Dream big and never stop dreaming. Hold on to your dreams. We don't die. Our dreams die. And then our bodies go with it. That's how I look at it.
Yes, sir, beloved.
Right.
Are under the influence of a foreign idea of what patriotism is, what nationhood and brotherhood, sisterhood, and motherhood has been treated as a foreign idea, and that everybody else has patriotism. They have a geographical a commitment to the land, or they have a set of family value systems that are totally unrelated to our own family value system. And when you don't develop a system of your own, or you don't come to the table with a family value system of your own, then it results in the situation that we have found with Trayvon Martin and a Hispanic. This guy is a white Zionist Jew father Spanish mama, or you might want to call him Hispanic. You might want to call her a Latino. But nevertheless, this guy, Georgie Porges, said, well, I just have to take his life because he has no values and nobody's going to do anything about it. Matter of fact, I can take his life and get paid in full and make mockery of their whole goddamn race. That's how they think. I'm telling you something. We make mockery of their whole goddamn race because nobody's going to come and do anything about it. If I kill a nigger, because other programs you have to say N-word, you can say nigger here, and you won't get put off the air. At least we haven't gotten put off so far from Talk How You Like Radio here at Black Power Radio. But nevertheless, you have been attacked by everyone, including the Tooth Fairy, have gotten up and put foot in your ass at some point here in America. And they said, oh, they're just the black people. They can take it. And they call you nigga, and then put their foot in your behind and continue business as usual. Because we have not collectively stood up and said, we will no longer allow you to put your foot up our behind. We will not allow you to do the drive-by, kill us, and drive off with no consequences. Now they have flipped it here that they have a black chief who said this is her personal squad of men. I don't know if it's 5, 10, 20, maybe 30 at the most. But the scorpions, and I believe she may be a Scorpio. He said, you know, if I'm a Scorpio, you know I'm unforgivable. If you fuck with me twice, I'll turn them killers go. And they just turn their killers loose on us and do what they will. They said, the total, full, complete, an entire world has been conditioned to believe that they can take liberties with your person, beloved sister, as a black sister. And they can take liberties with our person, you, Ty Nitty, as a black brother. And there will be no consequence to be paid because they don't have nationhood, brotherhood. They don't have any spirit of patriotism to check me. Because I saw Joe Blover, he just got away with it. And you saw Miss So-and-so, she shitted and did it and got away with it. So they'll gamble, especially when the opposition, meaning the white nationalists, pay. I've seen it pay $1 million plus to get one of us, any one of us, from Breonna Taylor to Sandra Bland, from Michael Brown to Ron Brown, from Sam Cooke and Sammy Davis to Jimi Hendrix and James Brown, from Michael Jackson Prince to Tupac Biggie, from Tupac Biggie to Tick Off and Twix in the Mix and all that goes in there. That they can take our liberty to our person. They can declare us dead in the body bag, call us suicidal, and get right on off the hook and keep it moving. So my premise is this, that if we declare our selfhood, our nationhood, our brotherhood, sisterhood, father and motherhood, that we can walk away without a scar, without a blemish. If we were to unite with the Black Panthers in the Black Panther love and the Black Panther education and give the unpredictable honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad in the spirit of self-defense, bomb rush this no-good cracker, and take black our social political prisoners from a no-good, low-down, dirty, filthy white man and his white woman. If we were willing to do that, don't you know, people would respect us all over the universe. Your leader, Shaky Mama, but we'll get a Pulitzer Prize or a Nobel Peace Prize for waking us the fuck up. I'm here to tell you tonight. We're live tonight. Let's see what New Orleans is going to talk about. Talk black to us in New Orleans. New Orleans,
sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
At 502.
Yes, sir.
At 432, you can talk black to us. We're talking about should we the people declare war against the opposition over what we have seen in Memphis, in Sanford, Florida, in Staten Island, in all parts of Ohio, and damn near all of California, and whatever's left of Texas, and Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, right here in Washington, D.C. Talk black to us, New Orleans, because you're live on Black Power Radio. Welcome.
You know,
welcome.
Black Power. I'm going to say this,
black
you
power,
know, first
power.
Of all, for you to have a war with the opposition, first of all, many of our people have to have a knowledge of self. And then I'm the type like this. You can expect these people to act a certain way. We know the history of these people. But what are we doing to try to start up an opposition, you know, trying to get ourselves together, you know, focus upon doing things in our community? Because you're not going to stop them from being who they are. Now, how we stop that, all of us got to come together. As long as we separated and we infiltrating and stuff like that, we're going to continue getting messed over, you know, because you got to have people that's on the same level. You got to be solid. You can't be, you know, this one want to do this one, that one want to do that one. We all got to be on code. This is what Tariq Nasheed always was saying, you know. We got to be on code, you know. Like if we see certain things going on, we come together. We stick together. It's the same issue with them with those police officers that beat that brother up. The black, okay, yes, that's wrong what they did, but then it was white supremacy. If they had a white guy that was out there that tased the brother, the young brother, you know, we can have an opposite, but first of all, we have to have a knowledge of self, and then we got to remove all these informants, infiltrators that's around us. That's posing to be this, and come to find out they're not. You're working for the man. So I say yes. I mean, it can happen, but it starts within ourselves. We have to have a knowledge of self, and we have to learn how to do things for ourselves.
As long as we show that we're willing to compromise with the opposition, they will continue to scrutinize and continue to share their influence, if you will, in a manner that of disregard. They will continue to disregard us as long as we're bowing down to their culture. Is that right, wrong, true, or false, or whatever?
That's true. But I'm gonna say like this: a lot of times they will send people like and Al Sharpton amongst us to keep us quiet down. You know what he did for years? He was spying on the mafia. Going, you know, you can't trust nobody like him. And then they give us certain people like these athletes and stuff like that. In the other communities, they don't worship no athletes and stuff like that. No, they put people like that, you know, these comics and stuff. Malcolm talked about that, what, 50-something years ago? No, 60 years ago, comics and stuff like that. Nah. You know, people that's going to quiet us down. No. Mm-mm. No. You have to have a people, a man that's for the people, like you said, no compromise. That's why I like Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad. No compromise. The man came up under Idi Amin. He had that mentality, no compromise. You know, many times they would say what Idi Amin was killing his own people, but come to find out, you had some of those people that was working for the oppositions. Hello?
Black Power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad earned the handle as a freedom fighter. Now, someone was about to say something. Go ahead. Idi Amin Dada was surely a freedom fighter in the spirit of freedom fighting on the continent, and the people here failed to receive Idi Amin Dada because of his strong hardline position against the goddamn opposition, and he's always been dignified in my circle, and he will continue to be dignified. as taking a forthright position against the opposition. He didn't feel like Europeans had a right. The old bloody Scottish and the bloody Brit had a right to come and set up in his place and say, we'll tell you how much uranium to ship. We'll tell you how much gold we got. And we'll regulate this and we'll regulate that. Now he stopped, the execution and start the Black Revolution. And this is what we have to be prepared to do today. Right here in America, with the three Ks, is to stop the execution and start the Black Revolution. And it starts with you and me, brothers and sisters. Only a handful of comrades reached out for Nat Turner. Come on and talk black to me tonight.
Yes, sir. You still there?
Yes, sir. I'm right here where you are. You can continue.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna say this too because I don't want to hold up the line because I don't know who else wants to say something. But another thing we need to do too, when we traveling, we need to have like a guide, like you knowing about certain sundown towns. I know about certain parts in Georgia, Mississippi. We need to have all of that when we traveling and stuff. We'll know, sundown towns, what to look for and watch and stuff like that because that's still going on to this day.
Yeah, it hasn't very much changed when it comes to, like you say, the sundown town, to get out of town before sundown. And Mississippi is full of those townships and all through Alabama, there's places that I don't want to stop in Arkansas and Oklahoma and Texas. Tonight I have feelings about stopping in these certain truck stops. I know these. I've been on the road for years. Know the certain truck stops I don't even go to. Talking about a black man should use a truck stop for his own safety and all security. There's even truck stops that I don't even pull in, brother. Because I know it's an old redneck behind the counter that I don't even want to talk with. And I go on down the road. I take two truck stops down the road just as I talk to that one redneck. Because it's not worth it to see that somehow this cracker would set me up. I just feel such a negative spirit when I'm around those kinds of folks that I don't feel in no form of discipline from going to their ass or shooting them in their ass or something on that order. I have no reservation whatsoever, sir. I'm telling you, I'm a genuine
freedom
fighter.
Go hang out in Memphis, man. You might feel safe around the white folks.
Well, go hang out around
in Texarkana or West Memphis, Arkansas, Memphis, Tennessee, Kill Branch, Horn Lake, Mississippi. Go hang around Atlanta, Georgia, or go to Knoxville, and then go to Chattanooga, and then you might find out you might feel safer in one of those sundown towns. You might feel safe around them rednecks than you do around your own kind. Maybe. I don't know. Depending on who you is, I guess.
Well, given the black
you might be in a small town in South Carolina. Think you good to go. Yeah, might feed you a real nice fried chicken, collard greens, cornbread, pinto beans, feed you real good. Hang out with you, give you some moonshine, get you feeling real good. And next thing you know, when you think things ain't got good as they can get, there your ass go, going into a hole. They might make you dig that hole and tell you to cover your own self up. Might not have a choice. Yeah, what?
That's,
I'm just saying to say this, man. You might feel safer around the white folks after you get around some of your own kind. Be careful where you go to. That's right. It's a lot of little towns. I swallow your asshole. Be like, yo, man. I'm from New York. You from there? You about to be fertilizer, dude.
That's true, beloved brother Ty. I'll tell you this. On that strength, where you find your brotherhood, your sisterhood, and your motherhood. But given the black drop of Memphis, where the players appear to be black, and now here comes the rhyme and the riddle, all skin folk is just not kin folk. The proof and evidence, there's players, some form of fraternity. There obviously some form of education is there. They passed all the tests to get into this police department. They found themselves a black woman chief who allowed them to set up a gang. These are straight up black gangsters running around the streets in Memphis, scot-free, free in the streets to do whatever they want to do to whoever they want to do it to, make up any story they want and get each other to say, chime in and say, say he jumped me and grabbed my weapon and I had to put him down a couple of times. Just anything out of their mouth, say anything, do anything, because we have not claimed our nationality. We haven't claimed our selfhood, our nationhood, our brotherhood, our motherhood, our fatherhood. We have not claimed to be a human being on this earth at this hour. We are not even three-fifths of a man would have been done like we saw in Memphis. The city council chimed in. I think the lieutenant governor chimed. I think the governor was there. This one from that place. Old wooden tooth Joe Biden was on the line saying something. Everybody and their mama had something to say about this. And they ain't finished. The funeral ain't until Wednesday. So there's a lot more that's going to be covered down on these issues. But I am shocked and awed to know that these Omega Psi Phi's, because I'm not going to lie to you. I was looking up to these brothers saying, hey, man, Omega's got us, bro. Let's go. Get the test, man. Omega got us. Yeah. When Howard University went down, I took my own sleeping bag, my own food, clothing, and shelter to the campus and fed the students because the university had lost the respect of the students because there was mold and mildew in the dormitory, and therefore they felt no reason to sleep on their place, their assigned unit. So they camped out at the big student hall down at the Blackburn Center on Howard University campus. Alicia Rashad didn't show up down there. She's one of the best actors amongst us, played Bill Cosby's wife on Cosby's show. Alicia Rashad, her sister, the best dance step in the nation. Kamala, or is it Camila? Kamala Harris, the vice president, claims to be on Howard University. Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, claims Howard University. Leek Zulu Shabazz, all of them claiming Howard. At least I think he did show up. But most of them were ill-prepared in the case of an emergency. In a real emergency, they would have had zero on the scale of response. We were out there pitching tents, serving food, giving up sleeping bags, and making the students a comfort place outdoors. They were not ready to spring up the tents and cook up the food and keep them going and keep them in class. A couple of instructors, a couple of professors came by and did their class in one of the tents that we pitched on Howard University, or some call it Howard University. But we're just so disjointed, so ill-prepared for any form of any kind of an emergency that I feel embarrassed to be even called amongst you when you behave as the way you do. And then you're going to turn around and beat baby brother to death over some nothing-ass traffic stop. Was he set up? That's the other pertinent cross-examination question. Is there any evidence? I asked all of you so far, is there any evidence that Tyree Nichols was set up? I'll listen to you.
I don't think it was a setup. Yeah, it's not a setup. I mean, it's a random happenstance that seems to be captured on video. None of these things, I think, are setups. They're just messages that God is trying to tell us something. We often miss the call quite too many times. So sometimes God chooses our children, our youth, to send a clear message. None of our young babies who die, especially when they die in the hands of the police, or by accident. Everything is a calculated message that is being told. And how do we carry on that message? And so as someone I can speak to as who lost my own son due to the violence and the policies that these bastards created. And they created such a volatile environment, I could not protect my son when he walked out the doors 24 hours, 7 days a week. No matter how much we want to protect our children, the environment does not want black people to prosper. So they will target any and everything that is attached to us. So when they stop our babies out in these streets and these kids, they're not taught how to combat these oppressors, 9 times out of 10, they will lose their lives. And so my instance with my son, it was 3 Latin King members. They were no older than 16, 17, 18 years old themselves, taught absolutely nothing but the street life, and decided to use my son as target practice. And so with that, I take every day to fix the fact that I wasn't there to protect him. So I studied the environment of which these kids were raised. And even though they spent 10 years in jail, that wasn't enough. I can't get my baby back. I can't hug him. I can't see him smile. I can't see him grow up, have kids of his own. That was taken from me. But what I've learned is that what do I do differently now that I am still breathing, that I still have the breath of life? Do I take every day that I have to make a change? And so that's where you have two choices. You take your tragedy and you make a change and a preventive measure in your own neighborhood, or you just remain bitter at the world, do nothing, complain, and nothing changes. So those are the two choices that we have moving forward, especially if you have lost your child. You never expect to bury your child or outlive your child. But when it does happen, what do you do differently to prevent that? So when I encourage my parents, my peers, to encourage them to be part of a governance or understand the governance that caused us to live in such volatile environments, to face them and let them know their self-interest will no longer be accepted. The one or two of us that are constant in that, and here in L.A., very prominent. I will hold my tongue for absolutely no one. And these bastard politicians know that for a fact. That overall, their self-serving interests will get them indicted themselves, or their own children will face some type of detriment. There are some politicians and law enforcement that chooses not to have children at all, specifically because they know the roles that they're playing is a dangerous one, is a sensitive one. So they wouldn't want to face the pain and the trauma that many of us have faced, the constituents that they're supposed to serve. They know the consequences, and they know that their children will be in jeopardy based on their actions and their choice of occupation. So I say this to say that overall it's good to discuss the solutions, but when it comes down to it, our children need to see the results of revolution. They need to see that there's something different than other what they were born into. That is what I'd like for us to change. Is change direction and do something that you didn't think of doing before, or you haven't, or you're not comfortable. You get out of your comfort zone. So I don't mind, again, being the punching bag for these politicians, because I know one day, as God has been doing, he's going to strike them down when the time comes, in his due time. But what I do encourage is a collaborative effort. It's not fair for two or three, four or five revolutionaries in certain areas to be in the forefront in these streets, really trying to put forth a change, and our people are not gravitating to it. They're not listening. They're not applying the messages, the blueprint that is being served. When are we going to actually change direction, right? After a while, the airwaves can capture what we're saying, but it is our actions that really will make that change. So, Black people, I mean, it's getting late in the hour where we are missing our cue to go strike. We can't do that. We can't do that because we're not equipped or we're not willing to learn how to equip ourselves to do that. The Art of War is probably one of the best literatures that we need to uphold to. The Art of War tells you exactly how to win. It tells you exactly how to change direction without the opposition knowing. You go left when they think you're going right. That's collectively how we should be thinking. But in reality, some of us are incapable of doing so. And for that, the dialogue can only die, and it will die. But what will stay is when you teach our kids, when you teach them, and you pass the torch, and you give them a reason to carry on. That's all they're waiting for. What they need most of all, our young people, they need a location, empty storage places, empty land, build a youth center with technology far beyond the eyes can see. Put all of the necessary tools so they can go somewhere and start creating, start making their own ways. They can't do that because when they walk outside the doors of their own neighborhood, everything is old and dirty and run down. And we're not seeing fit to even see how we can obtain these abandoned lots or places in our area. We're not doing that. When we're going to log off today, some of us are going to go watch our favorite program. Some of us are going to go chit-chat. You know, we're going to keep it real. That's okay. So we're going to go by and be the show ponies that we can. But the work that is to be done, you have your revolutionaries that don't sleep at night because they're crafting the next plan of action. Believe you me, Black family, God has the key for us since 2019. He had it since 2019 because the Lord told us in Genesis that we would only be slaves for 400 years, and God is not a liar. So what happened when slavery started in the year 1619 on this soil? 400 years later in 2019, we missed the first calling. So God decided to rearrange some stuff, and that's when COVID hit that very next year, January 2020. And that was called the Great Reset. So those who didn't have time to listen or didn't have time to draft a plan or collaborate with their brothers and sisters as we should have been, many of us were infected. COVID took many of people that we know out, and a lot of old regimes started dying off. But even then, Black family, in 2022, two years into COVID, we still missed the call because there was no one to replace these old regimes that were dying off. So when you had a governor or you had a council person or you had an assembly person or a states person that removed themselves or was forcibly removed, who were we to replace it? Would be another oppressor. Why? Because though the oppressors are prepared. That's what they do. They train themselves to take over. They've been doing it since 1776 when they so-called wrote a piece of paper saying all men are created equal, knowing damn well they only meant themselves. But do we combat that? The woes of slavery told us it's illegal for us to read. We get killed. We get hung. We get torn apart. Babies get cut out. Our brothers and sisters went through so much torture just because. And what do we have for it in 2023? We have nothing but stories. Stories. And that plan of action, black people, my black family, are waiting still for us. So it's choice is yours, 2023. Do you want to do business as usual, or do you want to actually fight the good fight, mobilizing in groups, even though we may not share the same ideology? But you look at the bigger picture. There is power in numbers, black family. There's no way around that. There's no way around that. And once we have the right amount of people to go forth and make those changes, then we will see a big difference. But until then, we use what we have and try, just try, black family. If we cannot listen to the messengers, try not to kill them. That's all I'm asking. Try not to kill the messengers who are working diligently on your behalf. Power to the people.
All power to the people. And that is a story of a great human interest to all of the Panthers. And I guess most of us did not know what had happened to your son. And that's a horrible story to report to the captain, that he just took his life as the same killing of Tyree Nichols, the same killer out for Trayvon Martin, same as Stephon Oakland, and the same as your son in Los Angeles. Everybody feels the aggrandizement of a grand opportunity to take our life if they are able to steady us to see how vulnerable we are. And at that moment, they feel that we've reached the climax of our vulnerability, they attack. And they kill. This is something I think that most of the public does not receive the total personification of this idea. When they have killed your son, I can't come and tell you, Dr. Truth May, I know how you feel. I have five sons, two daughters, and they're here with us by the grace and the mercy of the Almighty God. They're here, given my lifestyle, my track record, and all of their mamas in there. I'm just saying, we're blessed to be here. And then you say, I lost my son, just like the mother of Tyree Nichols appealed to the world. Oh, look, I have lost my son. He's been sacrificed so y'all can get up and wake up and get up. That's what she's talking about. I've sacrificed my son so y'all can get up and see something. And who's going to help me to see that this never happens again? Who will come forward and do the Henry Louis Gates shuffle and say, let us not allow this. Can we see to it that this never happens again? Who's going to speak up? Who's going to wake up? The city council member will speak. These are the guys I have depended on, these guys, to hold the goddamn line. And guys, you blew it, man. You blew it. I don't have no words that I can muster or come up with any idea that I can explain to you at this moment. My mouth is in the mic, but I'm 1,000,000,000% lost for words. And I'm just as lost for words as he is. I'm not no exception. I feel something when they're ticking one of us. I feel a loss. And then when I look at who's carrying out the execution, that is Joe Stupid, Joseph and Josephine Stupid. She's going to try to send a signal, a message to the public. Those guys are criminals and I'm not. Matter of fact, you're more criminal than they are for allowing such a squad, knowing it's a goddamn ticking time bomb about to explode in your fucking face, and you cover up for them. People are calling you, say, hey, Chief, look, your boys just shook me, man, unnecessarily. I was going down for pizza, man. And your squad just shook me, man. They didn't have to do me like that. Shake me down, throw me on the curb, and cuss me out, me and my mama there. Why'd they do that, Chief? Chief ain't even respond. But try to hide and say she's not criminal. I'm telling you, some terrible things are being done to us, brothers and sisters. We have to be the equalizer that manifests truth, that's not afraid to shake the goddamn opposition and shake any and every one of us that's not right until we can get some sense in our head, until we get right and say that we're beginning or willing to start displaying some decent behavior patterns towards each other. Because we don't know who the opposition has influenced to the point that it will set us up and take our life. That's what Marion Barrett taught me, that that's what the opposition is out to do, trying to set you up. And when they set you up, they come back and take what you have. Once they do that, they come back and take your life. But we ain't sitting around waiting for the last episode of The Great White Hope. We should be out demonstrating on the front line, conducting rallies on the front line. Hey, y'all, hey. Let's don't let this happen again, brother and sister. Sister, hey, we're going to do the up and fence. Just stop this, man. Hey, nobody's saying anything. Shocking off. Somebody now has to take the leadership, have to step up and say what needs to be said. Stop this shit, man. And I can yield the mic back as it's time to and you that are online right at this moment. So, Brother Ty, what say ye?
They most definitely study us, man. I was about to bring that up earlier. They study you in so many different kind of ways to see what your tolerance level is, to see what your education level is, to see how you react in this situation. See how you react in this situation if you're in that mood. If you got money in your pocket, then what you going to do in that same situation? They want to know every little thing. They want to know how long your penis is. They want to know what time you take a shit in the morning. Man, I'm a truck driver, and I've been in truck stops and take a shit in a stall, and there's empty stalls, and one of them will want to come in the stall where I was in just to see if they can get a whiff of what my shit smell like. I wouldn't be surprised if I pissed and the toilet went flush, they didn't get a valve and scoop some of my piss up and run tests on them. I wouldn't be surprised. They watch what I get in the grocery store. I can't go down, man, I can't go to Walmart and go down the aisle and pick what I want to pick to put in my cabinets and my refrigerator. They wondering what I'm eating. They wondering how I'm concocting my mixture to make my grits and shit, what I'm putting in it. They wondering why I'm so strong and why my skin look good. And different things of that nature right there. They study every kind of way I walk, the way I talk. But you know what piss them off, though? They can't figure me out. That's the problem. They can't figure out my recipe. That's the whole problem right there. They want to know how I'm so successful through all the discrimination and all the hardships I've been through while I'm still smiling and promoting happiness and a good vibe at all times. That's what they're trying to figure out. But guess what? They ain't gonna never figure me out. Don't watch too close, because that's a trap right there. I'm just giving you enough to hang yourself. That's what they should know.
Yes, sir. And I think they study us. We are the most watched people on earth. They watch us. It's been a guy making $100,000 a year watching us sling nickel bags so he can set us up with them. By the time we get to court, it sounds like they're after O.J. They got a place where young guys just in the hood slinging nickel bags. And they try him as though they got O.J. Simpson up there. Talk to him in a language that he doesn't understand one syllable what they talk about. Give him all this time. And he just know he's on a joyride because Uncle Jake went to jail. He goes to jail. Jail has been glorified. But we continue to glorify. But when you look at us, we are 50 million strong, beloved brother and sister, with a $1 trillion budget, behaving like we in the Sandlot basketball game, black shooting ball out of the blacktop somewhere. And that's why they do these things, because we don't know who we are. And if we do know, we don't behave like we know. So it doesn't matter if you know or not. You got to get some group identity, some group therapy going with the rest of the folks in order to prevent them from doing this to you again. And I'll give my mic back to Dr. Truth Bay for her closing remarks on.
Well, another week, of coming with the solution. So I never really spoke about King, and I feel that I want to express the need and the sense of urgency of, especially for families who lost a loved one before their time. People always ask me, why do I fight so hard for a specific thing if no one's listening? Why do I keep going? And KJ is the reason why. So the Kingdom Warriors Foundation is the nonprofit that I started in his honor. He would have been 26 this past year. And so KJ taught me a lot, even though it was just 13. He taught me a lot in his short years. And that's what children do. They teach you. They change you. They make you a better person. And for every day that he's not physically here, his spirit is what I have inside of me that gives me to fight, that causes me to wake up every morning and know that there's a purpose. There are many, many, many young people out there that thank God they're not 6 feet under. And so they have a chance. We have a chance to help change trajectory for them. So as we move towards the reparations hearing in Sacramento, those of you who received your tax funding to save the date and be in these places, that requires you to stand bold, hand in hand, as the march in Washington, as the march from Selma to Montgomery was, as the Million Man March was, and even the Million Youth March that Khalid Mohammed orchestrated. The end result has to be something to move us forward. And so take heed and really be mindful of your loved ones that are still here. Be mindful of our brothers and sisters who are locked up in these cages with no end in sight. They need to be released. And so I do appreciate continuing our fight for justice. But let's do it on a sensible level, moving forward. So never forget who you are in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and love is kind. And love knows no boundaries. All right, thank you for that. But as I stated
thank
before,
you,
it is very important, Black family, that we do change trajectory. And let this be a warning, because the messengers will not be here much longer talking the same talk. The messengers will be on a next level. The train is going to leave, Black family. The Freedom Train, I promise you, they're taking their boarding tickets as we speak. Will you be boarding that train? That is what you have to ask yourself. With that, Shaky Mom Akbar, Panther family, let us all take heed. Power to the people.
Power to the people. What say ye, Brother Black Lightning, about all that you have seen, all that has taken place? And should we, the people, I mean, should we declare war on this thing? Or what say ye, Black Lightning? Black Power.
Black Power. I have been off the line because I have personal emergency type thing going on, but I'm handling it, and all is well, so I really don't really know the question, but I do know what I've been thinking about, which is Tyre Nichols. He was beaten and tased by people who seem to be going around doing this, which are almost like a gang. They're like a gang. And they need to be brought to justice. Some of them just stand idly by and watch, you know. And so they in their case, it was just in case, well, get back to the people so they'll know what's up. Some people, I mean, a lot of people know, but some people are out of the loop. Five Black police officers beat and tased a young man, Tyre Nichols, 29 years old. He had a son by a white woman at that, you know, sort of like George Floyd, you know. I almost feel like it's a trend against, like the Hatfields and the McCoys, you know. The Hatfields and the McCoys, I don't feel like that wasn't no white folk on white folk. You mean tell me white folk going to be that pissed off because the neighbor's boy wanted to marry the neighbor's daughter? Nah. Black boy fucking their daughter. That's what's up. Excuse my language. I didn't want to cuss on here, you know. Sometimes we have a little bit too much cussing. And I know, personally, I've invited people to come on, you know, some of the elders and the aunties and queen mothers. So I just say it right. The Hatfield boys or the Black boys in this case, and the McCoy girls? Yeah, or the white girls, you know? And it's like a trend, even in Trump country. It seems like I see black folk, I see black men, and I say Black Power, you know, and they look at me and don't say nothing, you know. I say, that's strange. Okay. So I keep going. I see another one. I'm Black Power. He don't say nothing. He goes over to a motorcycle. Oh, white girl on the back. That's what's up. I see another brother. I say, Black Power. And he looked at me strange. It's almost like the movie Django, the character that Samuel L. Jackson played. You know, it's like hate us, just hate the shit out of us. and he the blackest one up in there. Hate the shit out of him. See, because when the master gone, he got the keys to the plantation, you know. And they didn't say all the they didn't say that the ones that was beating us. He said all of them was white. They said all the white overseers was white. Some of them was black, beating the shit out of each other. So they just made they brainwashed us just to hate each other, you know, to hate our own, you know. So right now, they can't do nothing about the McCoy girl getting down with the Hatfield boys, you know, the black boys and the white girls. They can't do nothing about it. You know, it's free country. Do what you want. You know what I mean? If that's what you want. If you want to leave the sisters in poverty, if you want to leave the sisters over there at the whim of the welfare check man and at the whim of a no-good-ass white man or black man that want to take advantage of the situation. Now, he wants to be a sugar daddy, you know. So when the real daddy come around, it's on. It's the Hatfields and the McCoys, you know. So when the white daddy come home, and he see the black boy with his daughter, you know, now all of a sudden you got these dummies. Well, I say dumb. No. Let's just say when George Floyd was killed in broad daylight right in front of everybody, everybody's so brave, everybody's such a badass. We can do this, we can do that, we can whoop this person, whoop that person, but ain't nobody football tackle the white boy off of George Floyd's neck, you know? And I'm just saying that to balance the two together, if you see the balance right there, if you see the link, you know, George Floyd was messing around with a white girl, and he gets killed by the police, you know? So that stirs up some shit. So, but it's white, you know, white police, white black man, you know? So it's like, okay, now they done flipped the script. They're going to send the brothers to do it instead. So, okay. So, you see, we got ourselves already geared up. So, if we see the McCoys with the knee on the neck of one of the Hatfield boys, now we ready to jump in. We've been listening to Grandmaster Jay and a few other people. Now we ain't got we've been drinking some gin and juice. Now we got our courage up and we ready to do some shit. You know what I'm saying? But, if any war general were in the midst, they'd be like, "Oh, y'all lost your mind? You don't have a war conference on the air. You know, you're not gonna kick. You're not gonna talk about kicking the McCoy's asses here. No, they do that in the war room. But I'm just saying, that's what they're doing to us." They're going in the war room, and they say, okay, here's what we're going to do. We got a few police that's on our payroll, you know, like the mob. They had police on payroll, you know. And if they don't have me on payroll, just like I seen in a movie one time, the guy, he say, he was prison guard. He couldn't do shit about it because the other dude, he had so much pull. He had his family threatened on the outside. His family was in danger on the outside. I hope y'all I hope y'all can read between the white lines before it fall off the page, if you know what I'm saying. They were actors. I'm putting it like that. Not actors. They were criminals acting like police. They were criminals acting like police. They either get paid off or do it for the safety of their families, you know, in some cases, you know. So you go out here and tase somebody point-blank range. Wait a minute. Who was it? Let me look at my little archives real quick. Keenan Anderson in Los Angeles. He was beaten and tased at point-blank range. He never tried to handcuff him. Had his hand in a kung fu wrist lock, you know. Had a fucking wrist lock on him. Why didn't you just take the wrist lock around and handcuff him? Why are you going to sit there and act like he's really trying to get up that hard? Because he wasn't. And just sit there with the taser on him, point blank range, and lying on camera saying, the dart wouldn't come out, so I had to do it point blank range. And he had a smile on his face, and then one of the other race soldiers' body cam caught it. And when the body cam caught it, he turned away because he was smiling while he was saying that shit, you know? I mean, well, there was another one. He was saying something else, but he was sounding serious, but he actually had to turn away. I don't want to be too long. Just want to say, right now, it's a conspiracy going on to get us, you know, those who might be influencers, those who might be, you can't bribe me, you can't pay me off, and you damn sure don't scare me off. Because the motherfucker come up in here, I know what I'm going to do. You know what I'm saying? That's how most of us feel. I'm just saying. And I ain't trying to portray me. I'm just saying that's how most of us feel. So it's like, okay, all right, we can play your game. And but there's some people that's ready and willing, but that's everybody. First of all, everybody come on Black Power Radio not speaking for the new Black Panther Party. They're speaking for what they feel. So, you know, everybody has their own opinions, and this is mine. This is how I feel, you know, that there. And you can call it conspiracy theory if you want to. It might be some Panthers on here that say, oh, he's a conspiracy theorist. No, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm watching it, and I got eyes. I got spiritual eyes. I can see real good, you know. So that's why I'm saying I'm fighting for Lavelle Lane. I'm fighting for Lavelle Lane. That was a clear case of police negligence against the volition of we the people. They betrayed the trust of we the people, and I'm fighting for that. So everybody need to come to Spartanburg Detention Center on the 20th. And protest what they did to Ms. Reese's son, you know, because that wasn't an execution because of the Hatfields and the McCoys. That was just, oh, I've seen you on the street a few times. I've harassed you a few times. So today I'm going to have fun and see how well my taser works, you know. So some people can't take that too many times, you know. Some people will do the ultimate to you just for you pulling the taser, you know? And I'm just saying that's how some people are. I'm not speaking for myself. I'm just saying, I'm just food for thought. That's all. Revolutionary food for thought. Because we as Panthers, the Panther, we are the vanguard example at all times. We're the ones that anybody can run to. When they're running from the police and say, they trying to kill me, you know? So we can stand in front of them and say, so you want to put handcuffs on them? Put handcuffs on them. But you're not going to sit there and tase them. And then, okay, they got five big, badass brothers beating the shit out of the guy. So, it's going to take five Panthers. That's how I look at it. You got five of them, five of us, you know? And so it don't have to happen like that. I bet you, I won't bet because it's too late now, but I would think that if five Panthers, same size of them, you know, same strength, youth, like our soldiers in South and North Carolina would walk up on them, I bet you they stopped beating him and look at what's walking up on him. I bet you that. And I bet you they wouldn't charge either. I know they wouldn't charge. Oh, they wouldn't charge. they ain't even thinking about charging. Hell, you got one man, they look at one Panther like it's 100 Panthers. You got five Panthers, that's 500 Panthers in their head. They look at me like I'm the guy from the Green Mile. when 10 police hitting me with nightsticks, and I'm still telling them to F them, and you hit like a sissy, and my you know, my mama hits harder than that with a switch. So basically, some of us are not bribable, non-movable, not going to take no shit, and we ain't going to get our people in a war that they can't handle. And if even and because then you have what's called martial law. Martial law comes down. They do us like they did the Japanese. You don't have to take my word for it. There's some researchers out there. Look up Rex 86. Look up Rex 86. Look up Garden Operation Garden Garden Plot. Yeah, look that up. Operation Garden Plot. Real easy. And Rex 86. Well, that was when Reagan was in office. They started making an internment camp. Well, I mean, they started renovating the internment camps that were already there, because when we had the war with when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, they put all the Japanese. You got to do some research. Y'all need to do your homework or remember what the fuck they did to us. Excuse me, ladies out there and gentlemen, remember what they did to us already. I mean, not just us. Remember what they did. Period. See, when they made the internment camp, they're renovating that shit. And guess what? They got enough rooms for all of us. But, you know, they're going to have overflow, right? That's what the mass incinerators are for. They have mass incinerators that they've renovated. And that's all that stuff is right by the they're usually by the railroad tracks along the water. So if I have to go down if they have to go down fucking with me, it's because of what I'm saying right now. Let me put it like this. Losing is not an option. How about that? and that Apache in me that rages, that side of me that rages, oh, yeah. They already know. They already know. See, I don't get close to them. I don't eat their food. I don't drink their water. I'll go without. Has anybody been on the road with? No. All I want to do is stop, use the bathroom, get some gas. Let's keep going. You know what I'm saying? We eat when we get somewhere safe, you know, like one of the queen mothers or something like that, you know. So I'm just saying no. To answer your question that I vaguely caught, I ain't really catch it. Should we go to war? I seen it on the flyer, actually, so I had a little edge. Plus, I'm pushing the flyer, so I should know that part. No, we shouldn't go to war. And should my family members suffer a fate because of what I've done? No. See, well, first of all, my family members taught me to be like this, so I don't think that would work out too good. And men used to be real men, you know. I mean, some of us still are. But see, I was taught by real men how to be a man. I wasn't around mama, you know, talking shit about daddy, you know. See, daddy being one of the strongest men on the planet. See, my uncle pick up a police and throw him over a car. White cop threw his ass over the fucking car. And then when the white cop realized before he get a chance to shoot my uncle, and realized, but he back in the house by then. And then when grandma comes to the door, they say, oh, shit, we didn't know that it was you, ma'am. She was on the board of the NAACP. They knew who she was. They weren't going to mess with my uncle because of that. But still, I'm just saying, we not the type that's going to just lay down, sit down. Hell no. You know what I'm saying? Pick your ass up and throw you over that fucking car. Excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen. So I ain't even going to go into my personal experiences because I'm just giving food for thought. Other than I will say, as Panthers, we are a vanguard for the people. You know, we stand up for our people because the white folks got what white, they got the white folks to stand up for them. Chinese, they got the Chinese to stand up for them. The Mexicans, they got the brown berets to stand up for them, which I give them a salute too, because they basically Black Panthers from Mexico, you know, like Pancho Villa and them. So I'm saying, no, we can't afford to go get our people hemmed up in no bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And no, we're not, first of all, if you want to get something done, you got to go to City Hall, you got to go to Congress, you go over the damn mayor's head straight to the senator. You know, that's why Sister Truth Bay say, get a list of everybody who's on your city council and know who they are. And then go to the city council with this bullshit, you know, and say, look, I got the names, I got the pictures of all the cops that were involved in that dumb shit, you know. And let them handle it. And if they don't handle it, that's like, hey, we learned. I learned. I know our national minister, I mean, our national chairman already knows because he's sharper than a razor blade. But I didn't know when we were talking about the sheriff down there. He's talking about, well, it's out of my hands. And we say, okay, well, we can get rid of you. The people can get rid of you, you know. And don't mean get rid of him as make his ass disappear. No, it means that, like the mayor said, and I didn't even know this. He's like, if you want to get rid of somebody on the city council, you have to go to the governor. Okay, next stop, governor's. You know, the next stop is the governor's office. You know, and see, it gets deeper than that. If you really want to go there, I've already made deliveries up on Capitol Hill, and I've already peeked down in those congressional hearings, and when they was having Chappaquiddick, I peek in on that, you know, and when they're having the Whitewater thing with Kennedy and them, I peek in on that. So that's where you get shit done and see what it is, and this is really going to be the last straw, and I'm going to let it go, but when we were just about to do that, we were just about to go in them buildings. And they knew it because they listened in. They listened in on everything. That's why I don't trust Zoom calls and shit, because they listen in. And they listen in to everything. They listen in to this, you know? I am, what else? Oh, I missed it for a minute. I meant to say, we were about, okay. Ahmaud Arbery got killed by Ku Klux Klan members, you know? So basically, we were about to go in the halls of Congress to make them disband, make them like, okay, these people is a criminal organization. They need to get the fuck up out of here, you know? So personally, I was ready to go to Congress about this shit. I ain't know nothing about city council meetings and all that stuff. All I know is what I saw right down at the Capitol Rotunda. What I was looking at with my own two eyes, what the lawyers were paying us to go and say, stand in line for us. Hey, get $20 an hour for your broke ass. I'm like, okay, well, shit, if it worked that much, I need to sit in here and see what the fuck they doing, because I'm nosy like that. So that's what I did. And read the Greenberg Report, you know. Read the crime bill. You know, it's right in the crime bill. And I'm going to come right back to my point, but I want to let everybody know. In the crime bill, it says if you incite some shit and somebody gets killed, you get the death penalty. And that's when Newt Gingrich was in there. And he also got rid of Congressional Black Caucus. I mean, the Congressional Black Caucus up on Capitol Hill. They said no caucuses can have an office on Capitol Hill. So you want an office, go rent an office. He said no caucuses. He wasn't just talking about them. The Council on the Aging, the Mexican Council, the Chinese Council, anything, just to get rid of us out of there. You know, Walter Fauntleroy, different people like that was down on Capitol Hill that I met. And back to the point, these internment camps I was speaking of, and anybody can look it up. Don't act like, I don't want nobody acting like I'm some conspiracy theorist when they go on YouTube and look up Rex 86. Look up Operation Garden Plot and get back to me. So I'm just saying, when you look that shit up, you'll see in Anchorage, Alaska. I'm going to use that one. Anchorage, Alaska has a spot that holds 3 million people. Wow, that sounds like us. 3 million people, that damn near all of us. Well, I shouldn't say that because I don't even know how many else is. They don't know either. They want to act like they know, but they don't come in our neighborhoods trying to census man going to come in our neighborhood counting any damn body. He look out on the porch and brothers hanging all out in the front. They'd be like, hell no, I ain't going in there. It'd be like that movie with Denzel Washington, Training Day, when they took him down to the Mexican hood. Say, go on in there and count them people, boy. He said, man, you must have lost your mind. Ain't going in there unless you got the heart of a lion. like when you sent me to check out, we was looking for our brother. And I was like, that's a gang. And he's like, go ask him. I was like, well, okay. But see, I know what I'm going up on. And then they look at me with respect, you know, like he must be really about his shit. He walking up on us to ask us some fucking questions, and he don't look like no cop. He look like one of us, basically, but I ain't one of us, basically. So I'm just saying I'm not going to get our people in a position to be killed. I'm not going to, because, see, then you go to the incinerators, you know, and then you got martial law. Oh, it stay right in there at the very beginning. It says, if I can remember it, I got a semi-okay memory. Does anybody know me? No. At the very beginning of Rex 86, it says that when, not if, when the people, us, are denied their human and civil rights, when the people are denied their civil rights, and they go into a rage, and they start rioting, then we can go ahead and start it, you know? So it's like a big chess game. Y'all can't get caught up in the bull, you know? Y'all got to know what's up. It's a big chess game. It's like somebody walk up and shoot somebody in your family right in front of you. Oh, no, I'm going to put it better. I thought about it earlier. When Little Bighorn, really good example, Little Bighorn, when his dumbass, he used to say, well, I'm throw this in too. Custer used to see buffalo, and he'd say, fuck the mission. I'm going hunting buffalo. He loved hunting buffalo. So anyway, when his dumbass saw a small Indian, I mean, a Native American scouting patrol. That's all it was. It was a little scouting patrol. Sort of like when you see a few Panthers out there, you know? And like Brother Azrael said one time on a thing, he said, don't worry about the Panthers you see. Worry about the Panthers you don't see. So Custer, he come charging after these Indians, Native American, indigenous, my folks, my other folks, because I got both sides, when he come charging over that hill, guess what he saw on the other side of that damn hill? They were having a powwow. And they had nations of Apache, Cherokee. They had everybody sitting down there. And so when the boys come running over the hill and Custer behind them, it's like, oh, shit, what if I ran into? So basically, I think, didn't they get massacred? They got massacred because it was on the other side of the hill. See, we the cowboys, and we heading on over the hill, not knowing that they got sonic cannons over there. They got race police that we actually seen down North Carolina. These boys wasn't no police. They had on full military gear, carrying ARs, and they wasn't full of paintballs with pepper balls in them either. These were real ARs. They're ready to do some fucking war on us. So when them boys come out and they ain't just showing their guns, their orders is to kill your ass. And see, unlike some of us, we ain't following them orders, you know? So it's like they some of us would jump the gun and start doing that shit, just like Custer and them, jump the gun, go over the hill, get massacred, you know? for the for what? For what? You know? No, I don't need no crash test dummies. I need soldiers that will hold the line, protect the people when it's time, by any means necessary. That's what Black Lightning needs. Black Lightning needs sensible people to say, we got a few John Browns rolling with us. You know, so them white boys on their motorcycles that ain't down with the bullshit, the ones that ain't wearing the Confederate flags. So I know I probably went overstayed my thing here. So I hope everybody does the research on what I'm saying.
Your elasticity on Black Power Radio. And we're just so happy that
I hope everybody understood what I was saying. Do the homework. And, I'm sorry, Big Brother. I overstayed my welcome. So I'm out, but I've said a mouthful, and I hope y'all get where I'm coming from. Yeah. No, we're not starting no war unless we're ready to win the war. Did you dig that? Okay, Black Power. And, everybody
Black Power.
From a penny to a 20 to dollar sign 77 Bakers so that we can get this Black Power bus. So we can mobilize the troops and stay a vanguard example to the people at all times, you know. And that's all the people. We the people, you know. So I'm going to give a we the people on this one, you know, because the Brown Berets will be with us and some of the John Browns will be with us. And we're not going to go out like no suckers, okay? Black Power.
Yes, sir. Black Power, beloved. Believe me, we didn't miss a syllable, and hope that you go back to your manual, steady up strongly, and return to the airways with a synopsis from the manual, and pray that you will see straight and shoot straight, aim straight, shoot straight, and be sure to hit your enemy. I hope that everyone is gaining something from this session of Black Power Radio. We hope that you will bring you and your crew back on Sunday. We'll be on we'll be in the studio Sunday with Dr. Monroe and with Stephen Biko Farrakhan Muhammad and anyone that's willing to join us in the studio. And we'll give you more information in the coming days. But on February the 5th, the first weekend of Black History Month, the shortest month in the Gregorian calendar. However, we do Black History every day, so it matters not to us that are steadfast Black revolutionaries. Well, I am a Black revolutionary.
Here.
You are? Okay. Don't
I'm a Black revolutionary, the real one.
You are? Okay, well, Black
and,
Black Power.
I had a little family emergency, so that put me a little on edge, y'all. So I went on super revolutionary mode for a minute.
Well, we can understand that. Don't make your problem everybody's problem. But just let's stay focused, remain vigilant. We hope that you continue to listen to Black Power Radio. We give you more of what you listen to Black Power Radio for. And we hope that you, again, with you and your crew, will be back on Sunday. We'll be in the studio, and we'll be on the EIDS, Instant Death Syndrome. Are we disproportionately affected by death to our regular folk, death to our superstars and to our politics, or our politicians, excuse me, and just are we disproportionately affected by this early instant death syndrome, whether it's COVID 1 through 18, COVID 19 through 23, and all of our superstars, sports figures, entertainers, socialists, and politicians. Are we going to the grave early? And that'll be next week, and we hope that you will bring you and your crew to the airways at Monroe Studios next week. And we say Black Power to you and your entire crew. Dr. Truth Bay, if you wanted to say a closing word of spiritual advice to we in the public, now is your opportunity to do so. Thank you.
Nothing out of the ordinary. I just want to see action translated in the same way that we have dialogue. My heart is heavy, Black family, and I, you know, we're going to keep it real. I do want to see a change in that trajectory. And anything that comes against the ways of how we're trying to fight freedom, don't matter who you are, you're going to have to go, however that may come. This is not a time or a season that we could accept business as usual. As I said before, the train will be leaving. The freedom train will be leaving. And it would be good to have everybody on it. But if you are family, or if you even qualify for reparations and you haven't identified your family genealogy, you haven't written it down, you don't even care to find out your history, there's no place here for you. There's no place here for you. We want movers and shakers, and there are going to be several events coming up that we'd like for you to attend. First and foremost, March 3rd and 4th in Sacramento will be probably one of the most important reparations hearing in person, even though it's started in California, the Reparations Task Force. It is a national platform, and it is for everyone to jump on board and to determine how the reparations come to us. The oppressor has no business, nor do they have the wherewithal to give us our final apology, however it comes. Land, finances, equity, all of that is coming, but do your part. Do your part. Just do your part. Respect the women in the revolution. Respect us, because we're here, we have your back. But we're not going to sit here, have your back and your front, and then you don't even have ours. That's unacceptable. Unacceptable. So let's keep it real, Black family, and let's do things differently. With that,
absolutely.
Power to the people.
Power to people, and every heart say together, Amen. Amen Ra. And we pray for the success of the Black nation. We've said it all tonight, and all that we can say and all that has been said, we know our beloved brother, Marvin Gaye, is saying it best. Black power and power to we the people.
We give each other love. what they do.
Miss you, 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 mi
watch how things will get brighter.
Together and we'll get it undone someday when your head is much lighter. Someday, yeah, we'll walk in the rays of a beautiful sun. Someday when the world is much brighter.
Ooh, child, things are gonna be easier. Ooh, child, things will be brighter. Things are gonna be easier. Ooh, child, things will be brighter.
still trying to make it. They only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going. They don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together. Gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
My friend.